This is session number 3 of the Gospel according to John. In this session, I'd like to begin to get into the text itself of the Gospel according to John. As we stated last time, there's a lot of ways to break up the Gospel, but I've broken it up into 8 sections. And by God's grace, we're going to begin section number 1 today, which is the introduction to the main body of the text. And the introduction is in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And this is John's introduction before he begins to get into the ministry of John the Baptist and then the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, before I get into the text, I just want to state a few last things. First thing is, you can tell a lot about the themes of a particular book in the Bible by looking up the key words. And so the first thing I just want to make mention of are some of the key words that are found throughout this gospel. And it's just going to give us a little bit of an understanding of what we're going to be seeing as we go through it. Here's some of the key words. One of the key words is word. Another one is believe. One is work. Another one is love. One is light. Another one is truth. One is Father. Another one is Son. And lastly, Jesus, the name Jesus. So the key words that we see throughout the gospel according to John, word or words, believe, work, love, light, truth, Father, Son, Jesus. Again, John is getting to the heart of things. John wants to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why you're seeing words like word and believe. John getting to the heart of the Father. You're seeing words like love. He's looking at, John is very black and white, so you see like light and truth. And again, he's getting to identity. So you're seeing the Father, you're seeing the Son, you're seeing Jesus. And of course, the outworkings of Jesus, which is work. Those are some of the key words we're going to see throughout the gospel according to John. The last thing I want to say is this. As we do these studies, I don't want to do an exhaustive, thorough, super deep teaching throughout this entire gospel. That's not my goal for these sessions. My goal for these sessions is to bring forward some important keys, help give the listeners a basic template, and then my desire is that those who listen to these sessions will then take the time in these scriptures themselves and begin to go through these passages prayerfully, seeking the Lord's will for what he's trying to say to them, for what he's trying to say through them to others, to the churches, and that God can begin to teach anybody these things out of these scriptures. So my goal is not to be super exhaustive and super thorough. I don't want to try to mine out everything, because that robs the joy and the blessing for you. I want you to have the privilege and honor of being able to go through these things and let God begin to open up these treasures. That being said, with this introduction part, though, verses 1 to 18, I'm going to go a little bit more thorough. And the reason why I'm going to go more thorough on this section is because not only is it important, not only is it very deep, but also I want to just kind of show how deep the word can be if we pay careful attention to the words. Pay careful attention to the flow of what's being said. So I'm going to go a little bit more thorough in this first section, but I'm not going to be doing it this thoroughly through the entire gospel. And again, I'm not going super, super thorough. I mean, you could go super, super thorough where you could literally spend hours on each verse just taking the themes of the key words that are in the verses and running them through the scriptures and lining things up. I want us to understand, too, as we go through here, that as we study the scriptures, first and foremost, before we begin to try to interpret and before we begin to try to understand, the first thing that's so important is we have to read exactly what it says. See, John wrote these things by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, exactly as God wanted us to have them. And so before I try to interpret it, in fact, don't even really interpret it. First, we need to read it for what it says, believe it for what it says, and pay attention to what he's saying. And through reading it as it is, believing it as it is, and paying attention to what it says, the Holy Ghost is going to begin to enlighten us and open things up. And according to Isaiah 28, the way we study the scriptures is precept upon precept. So that's when we begin to understand the principles of God, and there's an order to God's principles. Then we study it line upon line. That's what we're going to be doing here, where we're going through the context, line upon line, line upon line. But I'm also going to bring principles in. And then lastly, here a little and there a little. And this is where we begin piecing what John says over here with what Isaiah says over there, with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians over here, with what Jesus reveals in Revelation over there. And we can begin to piece the here a little and there a little of these key words and these key themes and start to get a fuller understanding of really not just the scriptures, although we do want a full understanding of the scriptures, but the scriptures are not the end. The whole goal of the scriptures is so that we can come into a fuller understanding and love of our God. A fuller understanding and knowledge and appreciation of who he is and what he's doing and what his will is and what his plan is for the ages and how he's working with us and what he wants us to do, and really coming into a fuller love and grace and all these things that he has, so that we can be better vessels to please him, better vessels to fulfill his will, and better vessels to be used for his glory in reaching out to others and doing whatever it is he calls us to do. So as we begin the study of the word, let us remember we're not just studying the word, but our goal is to come closer to God, to know him better, to love him more, and to be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, so that we can be better fit to do his will and please him. So that's what we're doing. But like I said, as we approach these scriptures, let's read it for what it says, let's believe it for what it says, and then let's let God begin to open our eyes to these key words, these key thoughts, to where we begin to understand what he's trying to teach us. Amen? All right, so we're going to begin this introduction, as I said, and I'm not talking about an introduction to John's gospel, but I'm talking about the introduction that John himself writes. It spans from verses 1 to verse 18. And this introduction is going to look at the Word, the light, the witness, the entrance of the light into the world, and it's going to give a little bit of an explanation of the Word manifest in the flesh. So again, we're going to see the Word, the light, the witness, the entrance of the light into the world, and a little bit of an understanding of the Word manifest in the flesh. Now, just so we understand, there is a difference between the Word with a capital W and the Word with a little W. And I just want to specify this. The Word with a capital W, we are going to see, is referring to the eternal name of Jesus Christ. Before he ever was made flesh and became human being and was called Jesus, he was the Word. In fact, we're going to see back in the beginning, he was the Word. And in the end, we're going to see he's called the Word. So when you see the Word with a capital W, that's referring to the eternal name and person of Jesus Christ. And the word with a capital W is found 7 times in the scriptures. Again, 7 is a perfect number of completion. And every single time it's going to be in one of John's writings. You don't see it anywhere else. When we see the word with a little W, then we're talking about the word of God. We're talking about what God spoke. We're talking about what God declared. Or what Jesus spoke or what Jesus declared. The word, okay? The actual things he says. But the word, capital W, eternal name, eternal person of Jesus Christ. That's why in 1 John 5:7 it says there's 3 that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are one. In 1 John 5:7, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one. Why? Because it's the record in heaven, and it's talking about the eternal record: Father, Word, Holy Ghost. So just wanted to start with that. So we're going to see the word in verses 1 to 4. Let's read verses 1 to 4, and then we'll just go over and do some analysis. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when we read that, again, let's just look at what it says. We're going to believe it, even if we don't understand it. And then let's start to begin to notice the key things that God's saying. So the word, verses 1 to 4. First thing we see is the word's in the beginning. The word is in the beginning. And we see the word's in the beginning with God. And yet we also see that the Word was God. So in the beginning, the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Right? So when we read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How many gods? Just one God. There's only one Lord, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But God is beginning to open up to us that the one God is not just a singular concrete being, but that this one God is going to be manifested in 3 different persons, if you will. That it's a 3-in-1. So it's not just in the beginning, just God, but it's in the beginning, there was someone back there with God who also was God, but he's not the Father. He's different from the Father, but he's one with the Father. And who is this one that's back in the beginning? It's the Word. It's the Word. In verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. So again, he's re-emphasizing the fact that there was somebody who was accompanying God in the beginning. There's somebody who's accompanying God in the beginning. Who is it? It's the Word. The Word was with God. But here's the great mystery. The Word was God. How can you be with God and be God at the same time? It's a mystery. Now, God helps us to understand these things a little bit in the sense that he also made us in his image. He made us in his likeness. His likeness is a 3-in-1. So he made us in his likeness, and we too are a 3-in-1. And you read that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We too are a 3-in-1. So guess what? I can be with myself, and yet I can be myself. My soul is with myself, but my soul is myself. Right? See, so the Word is with God, but the Word is God. And yet, he's in the beginning with God. Now, this Word, he's accompanying God. And verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So what we're seeing about the Word is the Word was not only in the beginning with God and is God and accompanied God, but the Word is the means of the creation. He's the means of the creation. Why? Because all things were made by him. Now, I want you to understand something. He's the means of how much of the creation? All of it. And without him was not anything made that was made. You see, the Word is the means. By the Word was everything made. Everything. That's in heaven and on earth. We'll see. But I want us to also notice something else. Notice the key word, by him. So the word is the means of the creation, but he's not the source of the creation. You say, what are you talking about? Well, this is where, as we begin to line scripture with scripture, we begin to see. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 6, we see, and again, you're going to see this throughout the New Testament. The word is the means of the creation, but not the source. There's a difference between the source and the means. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 tells us, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. So who are all things of? Now we're talking about source. Where did it come from? Who is it of? It's of the Father. He's the source. And then it says, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So the Father is the source of everything. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the means by everything. Notice the difference between the word of and the word by. Again, if you go to Colossians chapter 1 and in verse number 16, again, who is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ. We're going to see that later in the passage. In Colossians 1 verse 16, it's talking about Jesus Christ, and it says, for by him, not of him, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. So he's before because he was in the beginning. Before there was anything, he was there in the beginning with God. Or we could say with the Father. And he was God. He was deity just like the Father. But notice the distinction. All things were created by him, but they weren't of him. All things are of the Father. You can read that at the end of Romans 11. But all things are by Jesus Christ. He's the means, not the source. And it's also confirmed in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2. Again, talking about the Son. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, that's by the Son, also he, that's the Father, made the worlds. So who's the source of the creation? It's the Father. But how did he do it? He did it by the Son. He did it by the Word. Christ is the means of the creation. So the Father was the source, but through the Word, by the Word, all things were made. And without him was not anything made that was made. And verse 4, it says, in him. Who's him? Back in John chapter 1, verse 4. In him. Again, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life. The same life that the Father has. John chapter 5, verse 26. Jesus Christ says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. In him, the Word was life. Just like the Father, same exact life. This is resurrection life. Because he says, chapter 5, verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 27 and 28. Well, 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. This is resurrection life. This is eternal life. In 1 John chapter number 1, John the Apostle calls Jesus Christ that eternal life. 1 John chapter 1, he talks about how that which was from the beginning, he's talking about the Word, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. He's talking about the Word. He's talking about Christ. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. The same life that's in the Father, the resurrection life, the eternal life, eternal, cannot die. That exact same life is in the Word. In him was life. The exact same life. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Eternal life. And what does it say? In him, the Word was life. So if you could see the Word, if you could see inside the Word, you would see eternal life. Eternal life is inside the word. Resurrection, eternal life. And he says that life was the light of men. So this eternal life is the light of men. The gospel shines as a light. Do you read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? And Christ's life is the heart of the gospel. This life that's contained in the word of God himself, the eternal one, the one that was back in the beginning with the Father, the one that by him all things were made that are in heaven and that are in earth. In him is the same life that the Father has, eternal life. And that life is the light of men. One of the things John wants to show very clearly throughout this gospel is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just what he did, but that actually the source of the gospel is who he is. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life, who Jesus is, the life, the eternal life inside him, that is the source of the gospel that shines unto men and gives men the hope of coming out of the darkness and into that light of eternal life. Again, John is piercing through. He's not just seeing the outward works and fruit of who Jesus Christ is by what he did, but he's seeing through to the very heart of who he is. Not just the man Jesus Christ, not just the virgin-born Son of God, but seeing all the way back to the beginning. And going back in the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth, it wasn't just the Father. The Word was with him, and the Word was God, just like the Father, and that he was the means of the creation of everything. By him was everything made. He was there with the Father, and that in him, in that Word, was life, eternal life. That's the kind of life it is. And that life is the light of men. That's chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, the Word. The next section, we're going to get into the light, and we're going to see what the light is and how the light shines. But First John wants you to understand who the Word is. He's trying to get the source. He's trying to get us, because his goal at the end of the gospel is to get people to believe and have eternal life. That's what he says, the whole goal of what he's trying to write here. And so that's why he's taking us all the way back to the beginning to show us the source and the identity of this eternal life. Amen.